Welcome to Hail Varsity Radio, the voice of Husker Nation. Insight, opinion, expertise, with the biggest and best names talking Nebraska across the state. Join the show on Twitter at Hail Varsity and at Schmitz_radio. Call in at 402-466-ESPN or 1-800-825-5865. Here's Chris Schmitz.
Great to have you in on Wednesday. It's Hail Varsity Radio presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, the pride of Chicago. Daddy Burke is back from Kansas City. Went and saw his beloved Cubbies against some of your beloved Royals. You and Mitch Sherman in a steel cage Royal v. Cub death match. I love both of you, so I don't want that to happen, but just throwing it out there. How was the barbecue? We'll get to practice. It was a good day. Today, to hear from players and coaches on Nebraska's offense. There is so much to get into with that. Some thoughts on the quarterback and running back and just kind of this wave of positivity as it continues. It was that way on, my days are blurring, but on Monday, and it was that way again today. We'll hear from Coach Frost on Friday. But I want to go back. Danny, you went to Kansas City. You got back last night super late. You're That's here. Right. You're fired up. I'm going to Red Bull IV you shortly. And you saw your Cubs. You saw your Cubs win. But you got barbecue down in Kansas City. We'll be giving away some Ribfest tickets here shortly. But that's one of the good spots in America to hit for barbecue. I know you're proud of your Chicago roots. I know you're proud of your Chicago ribs. But Kansas City's pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, I've never been to Kansas City before. So,
last night was your first time.
Yeah, I've driven through it, but I've never stopped and actually toured around and got something to eat and tried the barbecue. So, yeah, I went to a place, Jack Stack, down there, got recommended by a friend, and lived up to the hype.
Very Ribs, good. Brisket, or pulled pork?
I got, pulled pork, ham, maybe some brisket, I can't remember, and then bacon. And
was that good tonight? You can't remember?
No, not because of that factor. There's just so much meat on the sandwich. It was unbelievable. And then the baked beans were fantastic, too.
See, dude, I had a buddy kind of show me his special way of baked beans. You get them in the can, and you can kind of get the, I don't want to say, maybe it's a little bourbon added, not my bourbon, but the bourbon, smoky, thick, right? Little bacon in there. And then there's seasoning you can put in.
Oh, yeah.
And all of a sudden, I love me some baked beans now.
Yeah, I was never the biggest fan growing up, but definitely grown on me.
Now it rules.
Oh, yeah.
Now you got to have them.
For sure.
And it's even more fun if you don't have to drive home and you just tear gas everybody.
Exactly.
Is that you?
No, that wasn't me.
All right.
Yeah, might want to roll down the windows if I'm in the car with you next time.
Danny Burke, the pride of Chicago. Should we get into practice thoughts?
Yeah, maybe we should transition here.
Yeah, I don't know how. The anti of backseat tear gassing after gallons of baked beans was today's offensive review. Can tap the line. Chilling Bridge Cork and Tap House lets you do that. 466-3776. 466-3776. Toll free 1-800-825-5865. You want to join us today here on Hail Varsity Radio. Find us and follow us on Twitter at Hail Varsity, at Schmidt_radio, at Danny Burke 5, and email chris@hailvarsity.com. So good news, good thoughts, positive vibes. And progress by the defense, good news, positive thoughts, and progress by the offense. Super Mario spoke, Mario Verduzco, and, there's 150 of us around him, and Adrian Martinez spoke, you had Bunch speak, you had Jebbia speak, Trey Bryant was there, so a lot of thoughts here on the running backs, too. But, okay, here's your update. How's the quarterback race going? Coach Mario, tell me.
They have basically started where we left off in spring. And now some of the more finer details about what we're doing from snap to snap and all those sorts of things are coming into play. So they're progressing well, and Andrew's doing a nice job. And so like I said, they've kind of started where they've left off. So it's been good. So far, so good.
All right, Mario. They're starting off from where they left off. It's been good. This is what we want to know. Has anybody separated themselves at the quarterback spot through 5 days.
No, they're all right there, all right even, you know, and they're battling. You know, they battle in 7-on-7. They battle in the team periods. They battle in the mixed periods. You see what they're doing on tape, and, you know, it's going good right now.
Decision date. Super Mario. Coach Mario Verduzco, talk to me here. That process, how it's going to shake out, still a work in progress for all three. Okay, give me a thought on decision dates.
You know, Coach Frost is going to come to the staff, and he's going to come to me, and he's going to say, we need to have a discussion about this, and let's talk about it. And he'll make the decision based on our recommendations, and we'll go from there.
Okay, that is good. That is good. They'll make the decision, the recommendation. They'll put their heads together. They'll come up with an answer in a little while longer. So, guys are even right now. It is even. The reps are even. They are sprinkling and being right on with who's getting with ones, twos, threes, all of that. They're working it out. And you're not going to name a starter if you're truly unsure through five practices. But it was our first chance to talk to the quarterback coach. His insight, his intelligence, his thoughts are extremely welcome. I had a chance to ask him about one of our, me and Coach Mario's, favorite bands, Pink Floyd. And it's a simple question. Are you a Dark Side of the Moon guy or The Wall guy?
Oh, man. I would say Dark Side of the Moon. I would say Dark Side. Yeah, it's awesome. Yeah, you're a Pink Floyd fan. How about, yes, Stevie Howe and the boys? Yeah.
Okay. He likes yes. Every time I hear the word yes, I think Marv Albert, hairpiece, and it counts. That's where I'm at with it. But, yeah, I got my answer. And it was a great answer, Dark Side. Here's Coach Walters on the quarterback race. His input, his thoughts.
You know, they're all doing well. I don't know how close it is. You know, our motto is day by day. And so those guys know that each day they've got to come to practice ready, prepared. Mario is switching up the reps, and so they're all getting plenty of reps. And they understand that, you know, we're not going to make a decision today. You know, we've got some scrimmages coming up. We're going to put them in some live situations. But the motto is day by day, get better each day. And those guys have embraced that, and they're doing a good job.
Okay, so the storyline today was supposed to be quarterbacks. Where's the race at? How are guys grasping the offense? Is the tempo working? A little bit later on the show, we'll have thoughts from Coach Mario Verduzco on where the tempo is at. But really what kind of stole the show, in my opinion, is the running back discussion. Some good news on Trey Bryant. Coach Held, you'll hear from him in a minute on that, with Bryant maybe getting some eligibility. But the star of the day, the guy everybody, Mario, Walters, Adrian, Held, was talking about, was Maurice Washington. And, dude, let's go back, right? We were talking Friday, Danny. And is he going to be in shape? What can we really expect? Good candidate to with this new red shirt rule, right? What four games do you get him in? He can't possibly contribute because he's not been here this summer. And he is blowing the freaking doors off of what's supposed to be for an 18-year-old true freshman. He is wowing. He is wowing his teammates. He's wowing his coaches. Dude, he is that good. And we've seen his high school film. We knew that they got something special, possibly like without the history of Maurice being as kind of rocky as it is. Not the kid, but just his situation. Five-star dude, right? And you see that and you hear that and you're like, yeah, five. I mean, people are wowed. And I'm trying not to, like, the last 3 years, there's been some guy or some player or some change, defensive coordinator, quarterback, quarters defense, right? I'm not trying to... To overreact anymore. Trying to be more measured, okay? But these guys are super positive. I think they're super genuine coaches. And if they're like praising somebody, it is genuine, it's sincere, and it's right. I mean, they're a good coaching staff. They aren't going to just offer up, let's put a statue up of this dude they're not saying that, but my point is they're pretty like, oh my God, this guy's doing really well. And it is Maurice Washington. Here's a snippet of all of the feedback on Maurice Washington. The guy got here Friday. He's had five practices, and he's kicking ass.
He's a beast. You know, he's working his tail off right now. He's starting a little bit from behind, obviously. But, man, he's fast, and he can run, you know. And these coaches, Coach Hell, Coach Frost, we're going to get him right, Coach Duvall. And I think he's going to be a threat for us sometime. You know, I think he's dynamic. I think all our running backs are dynamic. I don't know necessarily if he changes that room. But, you know, he's definitely a talented guy, and he's going to be special in my mind.
Yeah, Maurice done an incredible job, you know, coming in late, not really having the summer to get in shape and to go through the playbook. He's special. I mean, when he's out there, he has another gear. He has some instincts that you just don't coach. The guys have it or they don't. He has it. Great kid. Spending time extra out on the field, in the meeting room, learning. And so I'm excited about what he's going to do.
Great vision. His feet are phenomenal in the hole. And then he's able to make a plant and accelerate very quickly. So before you know it, he's at 10 yards. He's a longer, taller kid. You know, we got to probably work to, you know, get him in nutritionally, keep working on packing a few pounds on him and, you know, lifting and stuff. But I tell you what, I'm just, you know, everybody's excited about him. I have to do a good job. We have to do a good job of making sure he's grounded and build him up, because he's still a freshman at 18 years old, away from home, and wasn't here in the summer. He's got to know where to go at 5 o'clock and 6 o'clock. And so, you know, I'm cautiously optimistic. He can help us this fall, but I'm also not going to put unrealistic expectations on him to where, you know, everybody thinks he's going to come out being a Heisman Trophy winner game one. He's got a lot of work to do, just like everybody else.
So that is Held. That is Walters. And Troy Walters, dude, he is a straight shooter, no BS dude. And your OC said he is special. And it's day five. He is special with that type of athleticism. He is special within the framework of this offense. And when I think of special, right, guys, I mean, think back if you're a Nebraska fan, man. I don't care your age, but there's a back that you heard about and identified with, and the guy lived up to just being really, really good. There's a lot of under-the-radar guys that Nebraska found at running back. I mean, good players, but they turned into, like, incredible all Big 8, all Big 12, all, well, we'll stop there because that's the last time it's happened. But they turned into something money, all right? And Rozier, yes, the buzz about him, Doug DeBose, phenomenal pre-knee injury, and was a guy that did his best post-knee injury. But, man, he was good. Calvin Jones, I mean, that guy was sick before his injury. Lawrence Phillips, Amon Green. I mean, those are the guys right now. And do you walk down that line and dare you say, okay, if we're talking day five and he just got here, hasn't played a game yet, but he is wowing Adrian. And these guys are answering honestly. But the point is they're being asked about him, and their response is looking you in the eye and going, wow. And Nebraska hasn't had that option for a long time. I mean, Amir's money. Great running back at Nebraska. Rex was money. But, I mean, we're guys they have now. It wasn't much of an emphasis on a run game either. So there's that. But, man, if you had Maurice Washington this good this early without being around the team, think what he can do with the team. And you're going to have Trey Bryant, too. We'll get into Trey Bryant here a little bit later in the show. But, man, Danny, it's something. And you tell me, what's your feedback when you hear all this praise on a kid that's just 5 days in after not being here this summer? Because we had one kind of thought process last week that, all right, cool, he's here. And in like a short amount of time, he has turned heads.
No, I mean, it is crazy because we were talking about that last week.
We're just trying to, like, be guarded, right? Be fair to the kid.
Exactly.
Be guarded.
And we're saying the two things that he had to make up were conditioning, most likely, and then just filling in with the team chemistry, and you just nailed it. You know, all these guys are talking about him sincerely, saying how he's wowed them. It pretty much just looks like this guy's got God-given talent naturally.
He's got it.
Yeah, and he can just do it, step on any field and just show off. And that's pretty much what he's been doing from what everyone's been saying and seeing. So it's awesome to see what he can do. And, you know, we heard he's still got a bunch of work to do, of course, but that does raise a question. I'm sure everyone's thinking, is he going to play more than those four redshirt games?
I mean, isn't that the jump you take after just the comments you've heard?
Right.
Is, okay, if he's doing this soon, think what he can contribute now.
Exactly.
And I'll be honest with you here offensively. Like, when I think of this offense, I think of what I saw at Central Florida, very quarterback-centric, and you had a money man in McKenzie, just with his legs, dangerous, with his decision-making, completions, just picking people apart, and then with his discipline and the ability to kick butt with the tempo, right? I mean, you put it all together, and you're just getting cut up if you're a defense. They had Killens at running back, who was just a big play, you know, bomb threat. And that's what you look at with Maurice Washington based on early returns. That's what you think about with Trey Bryant can do now that he's healthy. And then my focus with like the run game portion of this offense hasn't necessarily been on the back. I mean, we haven't even talked about Greg Bell, for God's sake. And Greg Bell's like a power back that has speed. And he's still really good, but he's been the focus. My focus has been on what the quarterback run game can be and then the wideouts. But now you add like four options at back to be a good running team. Maybe they hit 35 a game. I don't know. Derek Peterson's up next.
Miss us?
Come here, brother. Give me a hug. Bring it in for the real thing.
We're on call for you. Catch the podcast at HailVarsity.com, the ESPN Lincoln app, or download them on iTunes.
Saddle up, partner.
Back to Hail Varsity Radio.
All right, coming up in 35 minutes, Brad Edwards, ESPN college football analyst and insider. We will know if Nick Saban has murdered anybody. Collateral damage. Thoughts on Nebraska coming up from Brad Edwards. We welcome in tremendous writer with HailVarsity.com and magazine. He was at the open session of practice. There's video footage to prove that, and he was all over post-practice tracking down the voices you want to hear. Derek Peterson with us at Dr. Petey HV. That's where you follow him. Do so, and you can read him with HailVarsity. Derek, what's good, brother? How are you?
I'm good, man. Whataburger's birthday is today, and I don't get to celebrate it with them, so I'm a little sad.
So what now? Whose birthday?
Whataburger.
Ah, okay. Well, it's Searles' birthday today.
Oh, is it really?
Yeah. I don't know how.
Here's a birthday with the goat.
Yeah, I'm sure. Hey, can you cut and run as fast with those new Adidas Bounce you got rocking as Maurice Washington? Are you in that shake and bake realm right now?
I don't think I've been able to run at a semi-decent speed since high school.
Okay.
So I don't think any amount of shoe game is going to help me in that regard.
I had to ask. Okay, you saw the first 30 minutes. Spill your guts.
Let's see. Well, I mean, we found out who the starting quarterback is going to be. We found out what the two deep is. No, I mean, I think Aaron Sorensen was talking to us about this after the fact. I think the entire thing was scripted so that we saw what they wanted us to see. But we did get to see Maurice Washington for the first time, and he's a little slim, he's a little skinny, but he runs really, really well. He's really, really quick. He's got good change of direction. He had this move. They were doing this like semi-Oklahoma drill, mm-hmm. and Washington took the handoff so that there was two levels of defenders. Washington took the handoff and cut right to juke the first guy and then immediately spun back left to get past the second guy and scored out of it. And it was one of those, I think, it was one of those moments where if you saw it, you're like, okay, all right, this is kind of cool. So he looked good. I think the pace, they were running some team drills and just doing run-throughs of plays. It wasn't live. There wasn't any hitting. But the pace with which they were getting through plays, I mean, there are seven guys in and out. They're changing out quarterbacks. They're changing out personnel. and they're going through plays so quickly. Like, that was one of the first times we've gotten a real taste of what that looks like in a practice setting. And even then, that was probably a little slower than what they would do in, say, like a scrimmage. But I think the pace there was interesting. And then I would say probably my other takeaway was watching the defense, and they were doing just a bunch of, you know, trying to force fumbles. It looked like that was a real emphasis for the defense. They had a drill. They had footballs on strings. One defender would hold the football, would carry it, and then there would be a guy behind him that would have to punch it out. And they would do those drills with every single position group. And then as they're doing warm-ups, guys are holding footballs, and coaches are trying to run up behind them without them knowing and try to knock the ball out. So I think ball security for the offense, and then making sure that the offense doesn't have ball security for the defense. Those were noticeable.
Derek, it might be a little early into the camp, and granted, you probably had limited access, like you said, and didn't see it as much, but we heard the coaches talk about Maurice Washington today and some of the players as well. But do you think that the team has already embraced him and him right back? Do you think he's fitting in right away as a freshman and coming in late? Do you think that they're just embracing each other and the chemistry's there already?
Yeah, absolutely. I don't think that is an issue. And we've seen it with some of the other guys that have come in. I think this team is really tight-knit right now. I think they're a really close group. I think one of the things that Adrian Martinez was talking about when he was talking about the morning practices is he said, you know, we're all pumped for practice. We're all excited for practice. And as he was talking, you could feel the genuineness of that. They're just really excited to be playing football again. I think Maurice fits right into that because, you know, you can put all of the weird stuff, off-field stuff that happened with him, all those distractions, and you can just get back to playing football again. So I think he fits right in that sense. I don't think there's going to be any issues with chemistry. I think they know, everybody can see clearly how talented the kid is. And from what we've heard, he's come in, he's worked, he's gone the extra mile to try and get caught up. I think, you know, it's just a matter of time before that chemistry gets built up. I don't have any question that it will.
Derek Peterson's with us, HailVarsity.com and magazine at Dr. PDHV is where you follow him on Twitter. So I'm going back to Friday with Danny and I talking about, all right, Maurice is in, he's eligible, he can play. What's realistic, right? What's realistic to put on this kid's plate? And then we fast forward to now and through 5 days. I mean, it's a parade for the cat, and he's got to keep that up. But are you surprised that you've heard the reactions that I've heard the reactions about him? I mean, what were you expecting him to be like coming in?
I don't think I'm surprised. I mean, he was a 4-star kid.
I know there's talent, but man, that's still a tough transition.
Absolutely, yeah, no doubt. And Held talked about that. They're trying to keep him grounded. He's still just a true freshman that's coming in and trying to figure out college life balance. Going through all of that, they want to make sure that he's, you know, eating what he's supposed to be eating. He's where he's supposed to be, when he's supposed to be there, making sure he's got the meetings and the classes and all that stuff taken care of. I'm not surprised that the returns have been so glowing of him just because he is so talented. And once he got on the football field, you were going to be able to just focus on that and kind of block out all the other stuff. I think expectations for him, you probably want to keep him low. Like I said, he needs to add some weight. He's not going to be a guy that could be a workhorse tailback in the Big Ten against, you know, defenses like Michigan and Wisconsin until he can add a little bit of weight. I'd be worried about that. But I think he's absolutely going to play a role. I think they want him to play a role. I think they see, you know, Walters talked about it today. They ran four guys at Central Florida last year. I think you could realistically pick out four guys at Nebraska this year that could play a significant role. And I think Maurice Washington would be one of them because just of what he gives you. And I actually asked Walters about the size component and if that was something that they're worried about or if they're confident that he can play how he is now. And Walters said, I mean, he runs good. If it ain't broke, don't fix it, is what he told me. I mean, they would like to add size, but they feel like he can contribute right now as is.
Yeah, and they are wild with his ability, and the training mm-hmm. table can help put on some of those pounds. The difference yep. is usually you have an off season to do so, so you're ready for camp, and you just got to kind of combine it now. If you're Maurice, yep. good news for Trey Bryant. I mean, that's another guy that. I mean, I remember last year, first couple of games, dude
so
was
happy for him.
Yeah, it was phenomenal, and Nebraska pretty confident here in getting a waiver with the Big Ten's help, so he'll get an extra year. Derek?
Yeah, I'm so happy for him. One of the things that I admire about Trey, and it was on display today again, is just there's so much happiness. There's a lot of joy when you talk to him, when you see him play. He's just a very upbeat person. In talking about, you know, kind of going through what he went through last year and not being able to play and having all the knee issues, somebody asked him about doubt, and he said, that's not a word that's in my vocabulary. I'm just I'm rooting for him because I think he's a tremendous kid. But, I mean, what an addition to have him back healthy. They talked about they need to be smart with him. Held talked about, you know, giving him, you know, a couple plays here and there and then giving him a couple plays off to try to keep him healthy. Trey Bryant says that you know, coaches will ask him after every single play, hey, you good? How you feeling? You good? And the competitor in him says, yeah, I'm ready. Let's go. But everybody knows that they need to play this smart and play this safe, and I think they're going to. And I think he's a guy that can and probably will be a weapon for them this year because he's a really good tailback. I mean, he gets – I think we forget about him more than we should forget what he did last season
right.
just because the end of it was so bad. But the beginning, I mean, he was a real bright spot on that team. He's a really talented runner. So to be able to have him back healthy, I'm really happy for him.
We got about 2 minutes here. A thought on – the quarterback race, have you been able – there's not really been any tea leaves to read, but just in general with bumping into all three quarterbacks plus Super Mario, what's your gauge right now through five practices?
I mean, they're all on the same page. They're not – when you ask them about individuals, they'd be like, oh, the whole team is doing well.
There's no nuggets to take away.
There's nothing. They're all committed to this mystery that they've suspended us in. And that's great. There's a conspiracy theory at the Hail Varsity team that Noah Vedro actually has a waiver and will be the starting quarterback, but he talked about he doesn't have
Who
it.
Came up with that?
I think it was Brandon.
Vogts. We're going to call him on the carpet yep. for that tomorrow. I love it, though.
Put the tinfoil hat on. But I think...
Fickle as Einhorn.
I said Martinez before... You know, fall camp started and we were in the summertime, and I've kind of held steady to that. And I've talked to you about this as well, that Martinez would be the guy. He had a he fumbled a snap in practice that we got to see.
Uh-oh.
And I turned to Greg and I joked and said, oh, quarterback one is gone. Let's move to Andrew Bunch. But I think it's a competition. I think it's closer than some people expect. I think it's still close. I don't think that Andrew Bunch is as far away as people will say he is, because mm-hmm. I think he's talented. I watched him throw a couple times today, and kid's got an arm on him, and he can run. I don't think he's as far away as people think he is. But outside of that, I have no insight to give on
you're,
the quarterback.
You're all good,
we
man.
We don't know anything.
No, we don't. But I think you're right on with Bunch. I think when Mario says it's even, I don't think that's just niceties through five practices. I mean, I think they're probably, at this point, as a group, probably going back and forth, aren't they? I mean, they may not even be sure yet. So,
I'm sure they're not, yeah. I'm sure there are days where Mario goes home and he's like, all right, well, Martinez kind of inched ahead a little mm-hmm. bit, and I'm sure he'll go out the next day, and then he'll go home, and they'll be like, all right, well, Tristan is now in the lead
sure,
a little bit.
Sure. Derek Peterson, please read him with HailVarsity.com and magazine. Incredible writer, great coverage in Nebraska. Follow him on Twitter at Dr. Petey HV and check out his Adidas. Petey, will be good with you. Thanks for the time, man. We'll talk soon.
Sounds good, bud. Thank you.
Take care. There he is.
And now, back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Brad Edwards coming up here in 25 minutes. We welcome in Mike Shewhart, Wilderness Ridge Golf segment. and get yourself to Wilderness Ridge, man. It is phenomenal. It is awesome. They have membership options. They have fall golf on the horizon, membership benefits and pricing. Go see Chris Thompson. Go see Mike Shewhart. Go see Shuey. Get that putter fixed, maybe meaning you, and get that driver slice handled. Shuey, how are you, brother?
I'm doing good. And you?
I miss you. I want you next to me. That sounds creepy and weird, but we got you on the phone today. How are you?
I'm doing good. Yeah, I just got done with a lesson, so I wasn't going to be able to make it in studio today. So,
well,
that's
folks,
the next best thing.
No, any Shuey is better than no Shuey, man. And go see Mike Shewhart, wildernessridgegolf.com. And can call up and schedule a lesson. I'll call it a treatment, right? Not just a lesson. Get a treatment with Shuey, 402-434-5106. I got a lot to talk to you about. We'll get into the PGA Championship. I'm sure Danny Burke, the Pride of Chicago, has a question for you about that. But talk to me about our dear friend Jay Moore and the city championship, because that's an incredible accomplishment for him. We talked to him Monday. I'm sure you're pretty proud of him.
How about that? That was awesome. You know, he's played a lot of really good rounds of golf this year, you know, so it was just kind of one of those things that you just keep going, you keep kind of knocking on the door, and hopefully that door opens up, and it did. He played a phenomenal round, the last round, to not only win, man, he won by 5 shots.
Mm-hmm.
So, pretty awesome play.
It was good. It was good. And you've coached at the college level for such a long time, did a great job. And this is in reference to football before the PGA Championship. We'll get into that. But, Shuey, talk to me about that fine art known as keeping a freshman grounded, right? A freshman comes in super talented, but they may be talented and they may be ahead of the curve physically, but there's some mental stuff that always we all go through when we're 18. How do you deal with a freshman and keep them grounded and reminding them politely that they aren't the greatest thing since sliced bread?
Yeah, that's an interesting one, because there's a fine line, because you got to let them still be able to use their talent, but you got to be able to get them to understand that, especially in a team atmosphere. That's the unique thing about golf, is that it's an individual sport, but it's also a team sport. Mm-hmm. So it's like you got a really talented player that's going out there, being able to do things, wanting to win tournaments, but sometimes is a certain shot or playing a certain hole a certain way to the betterment of the team than it is for the betterment of the individual, you know? So that's one of the hard things, is to get them to understand that it's like sometimes you have to rein them in a little bit and go, this would be a better option for you to do, you know? It's like, and because it's going to benefit the team more than it's going to benefit you. So that's one kind of learning curve they have to go through. And the other ones is because they're stepped up to a whole nother level. Most of it takes care of itself, because they come in pretty good, feeling pretty good about who they are and what they do. But you're also stepping into an arena that everybody is really good.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so what if you were the state champ in Minnesota and Nebraska, because you're playing against the best of the best from all over? So it's like you're not the number one guy really anymore, the number one player anymore. You're good, but everybody else is really close to you, and some of them are actually maybe a little bit better. You know, so a lot of that takes care of itself, and it kind of grounds them. The key is don't let them lose some confidence, you know, because it's like, oh, wow, I thought it was – this and I'm not playing up to that level, you know? And it's like not letting them lose their confidence in what they are and making excuses, you know? It's getting them to work even harder to make themselves even better than they already are.
Mike Shewhart's
kind of a fine line.
Mike Shewhart's with us, Hale Varsity Radio. Thoughts there on, you know, working with talented freshmen. How do you handle and respond to competition too? I mean, maybe you are really good, and you come in and things seem, air quote, easy. But when you get pushed, how do you respond, right? I mean, that's the biggest thing.
Exactly. You know, because they're going to fail. Because they're going to make mistakes. They're going to fail at times. And it's like, how do they respond to that failure? You know, do they take it as a challenge? And buckle down and work even harder. You know, not that they don't work hard already, but it's like, wow, wait a minute.
There's a new level to find, isn't there?
It is. I mean, every step you take, man, that is a whole different level of competition that you're playing against. And, you know, if you're used to being the number one player on your high school team and the number one player in your state or in your area, or at least one of the very few that are always on top, then you go to another level where there's just, you added a whole nother layer of players that are just that good, if not better. You know, it's how do you really respond to that? You know, and some shy away from it, you know, because they're like, well, wait a minute, man, this is a lot harder than I thought it was going to be. And they're not used to getting beat, you know. So it's like, how do they respond to that? How do they take that as a challenge, and to go, you know what? I don't like getting beat. I'm gonna get better and start beating people again. And other ones are like, no. Other ones start making excuses. Oh, it's this, it's that, it's this and that, you know. So that to me was always the kind of the fine line, mm-hmm. of getting those players to maximize their potential.
Mike Shewhart's with us, Hail Varsity Radio, Wilderness Ridge Golf segment. Shew, we got about 2 minutes here, and we'll kind of keep you on the other side too if you got a few minutes. We'll start off, PGA Championship gets rocking tomorrow. Tell me about this course down in St. Louis. What are the players walking into?
A long golf course that's not going to be traditional because of the weather. I mean, they've had some not very good weather down there, a lot of rain.
Yeah, soggy.
Very, very soggy. And you add that this time of the year when it can get hot and humid down there, so they're not going to be able to get the golf course dry and fast like they want to, you know, because they can't lose the greens. So it's going to be they're going to shoot low. You know, the greens are going to be really soft, very receptive. They're not going to be super fast, you know, as far as major championship level goes. So you're going to have to make some birdies, you know. But it's a big golf course, too, and it's going to play long because of the wet conditions they're going to be playing under. And they're not going to be able to probably dry it out that much. So it's going to be you're going to have to be able to hit it.
Shewy, got about 20 seconds here before a quick timeout. What do you prefer, dry and fast or wet and soggy?
I like dry and fast.
Yeah?
I like dry fast. I think they like dry fast conditions too, you know, because there's too many other variables when it's wet and soggy. You know, you get balls that get mud on your balls, and you get some different kind of unpredictable kind of flyer type lies.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when it's hard and fast, the ball is way more predictable. They have a little more control of the golf ball. So that's what I prefer.
Sure.
And I go farther because I can hit it on the ground farther.
You get a hop, get a bounce, get a run. I like it. Mike Shewhart, Wilderness Ridge Golf segment. Get out, see Shewy today. Get that lesson in. Get that round in with Wilderness Ridge. Shewy, hang on. We'll be back here shortly, and we'll talk about some of the favorites here for the PGA Championship. All right, bud?
You got it.
Hang tight. Well, Hail Varsity continues, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
And now, back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Someday I'll read the Matt McKay. You can email the show, chris@hailvarsity.com. We'll read McKay, the star of KFRX, some of his golf-related questions in the after-hours edition of Hail Varsity Radio. When it comes to golf lingo, he's confused, but we love him. Welcome in, Mike Shewhart, Wilderness Ridge Golf. And you can get that tee time figured out at Wilderness Ridge. I'm going this weekend. Now that the freaking the shingles have subsided, Shewy, I'm going to golf.
Good for you.
You're like, Schmidt, you're a leper. I'm not coming in today. WildernessRidgeGolf.com, 402-434-5106. Okay, Tiger, please tell me this is the major that ends the drought, Shewy.
No. No.
Fine. Why?
No.
Weather?
He's wore out.
Yeah?
Yeah, he's wore out, man. You know, this will be the most tournaments he's played in a season since 2013. I think he's kind of hit the wall, and he's a little bit juiced out.
Okay.
So I don't think he's got a lot left in his tank.
All right.
And he doesn't drive it straight enough.
No. Okay. So no Tiger. Tiger. Right now, Danny Burke is drawing a big old line through his options.
Yeah, Shuey, I got some questions for you here.
Okay, this is the last one. Spieth. How do you feel about Spieth? And then, Danny, you take over before we got to go to the Sports Center.
The only reason I like Spieth is because this tournament he needs to win to complete the Grand Slam.
Right.
So he's got a little extra motivation in there. I mean, if it wasn't for that, I wouldn't really think about him much. Mm-hmm. But some of those things, like him and Matt Kuchar has never won, so it's like it's his time. Those are two guys that have some extra motivation that going into this tournament that might put up a little bit of a challenge.
He's averaging a 71. I mean, his starts have not been always great, but they've not always been awful, but they're nowhere near second through four rounds. I mean, he's averaging 69 rounds 2, 3, and 4, but his starts have been what's killed him.
Yeah, and you're going to have to get the tournament. You're going to have to be between probably 15 to 18 under.
Jeez.
Which is pretty low for a major.
Yeah.
But just the conditions are ripe for guys that are going. They're going to make birdies. They're going to make some birdies. So you're going to have to get that low.
Shuey, I'm going to give way here 90 seconds to the Pride of Chicago, Danny Burke.
All right,
and you.
All right, Shuey, my man, I need you to come through here again. So it looks like Dustin Johnson is the favorite. One, do you like him as the favorite? If not, who is your favorite? And two, I need another dark horse from you.
So, yeah, I mean, your usual suspects are going to play really good at this course. Dustin Johnson, long high ball hitter. Rory McIlroy, long, hits the right kind of shape, long, carries the ball in the air a long ways. Thomas. Guys like that, your usual suspects, Brooks Koepka, those guys are going to challenge because they got the game that fits that. But I got two dark horses, man, two dark horses.
All right, let's hear it.
Tony Finau.
Okay.
And Gary Woodland.
Ooh, okay.
Gary Woodland and Tony Finau.
Gary Woodland's from Kansas City area. And he's a big, long ball hitter. He's got a game that kind of suits that style that they're going to need to play. So those are two guys that are my dark horses.
I love it.
That?
Keep your ears on for Shuey. He's all over it. Wilderness Ridge Golf. Get your swing fixed and get your irons right with Mike Shuhart, Wilderness Ridge. Shuey, we love you. We'll talk to you next week, bud.
All right. Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
Welcome to Hail Varsity Radio, the voice of Husker Nation. Insight, opinion, expertise, with the biggest and best names talking Nebraska across the state. Join the show on Twitter at Hail Varsity and at Schmitz_radio. Call in at 402-466-ESPN or 1-800-825-5865. Here's Chris Schmitz.
Great to have you back in. It's Hour 2. It's Hail Varsity Radio presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, the Pride of Chicago, Danny Burke. Fresh. I won't say he's fresh. He got back like at 2 a.m., but back from seeing his beloved Cubs play the Royals. We welcome in with ESPN College Football Insider Analyst and College Game Day, Brad Edwards, at JBradEdwards on Twitter. Brad, how are you, sir? About 3 weeks away, man. How you feeling?
I know. It's kind of crazy. Sneaking up on us here, but good to see the teams out on the practice field and stuff's actually happening, so I feel good.
No, it is, and we had a chance to see Nebraska a little bit this morning, about 30 minutes. Quarterbacks were available today. Nobody's leading the race, Brad.
Yeah, I was going to say, keep me posted on this as we go, because as you know, every year with my group of guys at work, we do that quarterback draft.
Yes.
So I need a diamond in the rough that I can pull.
No, and you might have one from Nebraska, and it's good. And it's a freshman that just got to campus in Maurice Washington that is wowing, and there's like praise. And that's kind of like the kiss of death, right? Oh, this guy's great, but can he keep it up? But the right people are impressed with him, so that's kind of what's been going on in Lincoln. We'll talk a little more big picture about Nebraska in a minute, but I want to pick your brain here on Coach Saban and his quarterback situation. You said last time you were on, and you just crushed it, you were right. Nick Saban made a decision to tweak and change his quarterback situation and style before a bad season. He just was ahead of the curve. Now he's got to make the tough call on Tua or Jalen. And I know Jalen went and spoke, I think it was Saturday, after a practice. How does Saban react and handle that? How do you think things have gone the last 48 hours? I'm interested in your perspective because you're locked into the SEC, and I know you know Bama pretty well.
Yeah, it's not very often that you will hear a Nick Saban player go off script. And they're usually pretty good about, you know, sticking to the company line and typically parroting whatever it is that Saban's saying. And so that's what made that so surprising. It's just not one of those schools where you'll often hear a player not only voice an opinion that's, you know, different from what's coming from the coach, but to, you know, do it in a way where he's questioning the coach. And so who knows exactly what happened behind closed doors? I don't think we'll ever get the true story there. But I do think that Jalen Hurts has a lot of equity. And I think Nick Saban, for as much as I'm sure he let him hear about it, as far as what he said publicly, the manner in which he did it, I think he also can sympathize with his position, which here's a guy who has done nothing but win and has been a good teammate, a great leader. He's done everything he was asked to do. And, you know, now people, including his coach, are kind of questioning, if you kind of, you know, read between the lines, it's almost as if Saban was questioning whether he would stick around if he lost a starting job, almost in a way as to suggest that it's a done deal. Mm-hmm. Now, Saban never said that, but you listen to the conversation, you can understand the frustration of Jalen Hurts, which is, you know, everyone is it's just assuming that he's not going to be the starting quarterback, and so their question is, well, what's his next step? And I think Jalen's point was, if anyone had bothered to ask me, I would have told them that I'm not going anywhere regardless because I only have 15 hours left to graduate, and that's important to me. So I think that was the essence of it. Now, is it going to help him win the job? No. Could it hurt him? Maybe just a little bit. But I think it would be a bigger deal if people thought that it was truly like 50-50 going into the season. I think because so many people just assumed that Jalen was going to have his work cut out for him to beat out Tua anyway, then it might not be the type of thing that becomes divisive in the locker room and all that type of stuff, because more than likely the result was going to end up being the same either way. But we'll see how it shakes out in the next couple of weeks.
Good couple of options for Saban. That's the reality. Brad Edwards with us, Hale Varsity Radio, ESPN Insider College Football Analyst, and ESPN College Game Day. Which, you know, it's been a while since we've talked, and Urban Meyer was in front of us at Big Ten Media Days when he said what he said. There's a two-week window here with this independent investigation. Brad, what do you think happens? Do you even want to comment on that? But your overall reaction first, and then secondly, do you have a prediction?
Yeah, so I guess my prediction would be that he ends up getting some sort of suspension to start the season and stays as head coach. And that is simply based on my assumption that his statement that he released had some truth to it. You know, when he claimed that not only did he know about it, contrary to what he said at Big Ten Media Days, but that his supervisors knew about it as well. And if that's the case, then you got to believe that at least from a legal standpoint, from a contractual standpoint, he did what he needed to do, or at least he was covered. Now, you could argue lots of other things against him, you know, as far as, hey, if you knew about 2009, you knew about 2015, why did the guy stay on your staff till 2018? And what did you learn in 2018 that all of a sudden made it, you know, worth pulling the trigger when it wasn't before? All these questions are still valid, but I think if it turns out that he fulfilled his obligations from a contractual standpoint, from a Title IX standpoint, then why would Ohio State get rid of him if they don't have to? Because from the start, one thing we all knew, they don't want to get rid of Urban Meyer. They're only going to do it if they really have no choice. And if it is true that his superiors knew, and we're assuming Gene Smith would be one of those superiors, then I don't think he loses his job over it. And so that's kind of where I stand until we get further information.
Brad, I think you're right. And from a suspension standpoint, yeah, will he lead the team out that first game? I don't know, but I don't think he loses his job, and Ohio State's going to try and keep him. I mean, he's, from a production and record standpoint, not big picture, morality police guy here. He wins football games. He wins a lot of football games. You're 12-2 every year.
Obviously, Schmitty, if he lied in his statement, in addition to having lied at Big Ten Media Day,
then he's gone. Yes,
he's gone. But I think we shouldn't have been surprised that his statement was going to say what it did, true or false, because to stick to what he said at Big Ten Media Days going to call into question his wife.
Right.
You know, and what type of ethics that she has. And obviously he doesn't want to do that to her. Mm-hmm. And so this is kind of the way he could get her off the hook and still try to get himself out of it too. Now, what he's saying may be true. And if he's true, it's he's not doing it to maneuver. But until I learn that there was some lie in his statement, then I will assume that he's got enough going for him in order to keep his job.
Right. Brad, let's switch gears. Playoff predictors out on ESPN.com.
Yeah.
And the numbers are out. It says Clemson's got the best shot. Notre Dame could be a surprise. And the criteria here, strength of record, FPI, number of losses, conference title, independent status. Those are some of the things that go into it. 67% for Clemson to get to the playoff. 24% leading the way for them to get to the championship game. Bama second, 47%. Georgia, 46%. Notre Dame at 42%. And that's impressive. From a percentage standpoint, the SEC's got an 87% chance of getting a team in, a 26% chance of getting two teams in, and the Big Ten's got a 75% chance of getting one team in and a 13% chance of getting at least two teams in. When you guys
let me ask you one quick question.
Sure.
Didn't notice it. Okay, so give me these two percentages: the chance for the SEC to get two teams in, and the chance for the Big 12 to get one team in.
No, I hear you. I was going right there.
Is that where you were going?
Yeah,
they're almost identical.
Right.
That's scary if you're the Big 12.
Right. The SEC is going to take their second seat. Predictor-wise here is going to take the only, you know, that it's 26% chance that the SEC gets a second team in to 29% chance the Big 12 gets one team in. That's nuts.
It is nuts, and I think that Oklahoma comprises 24 of that 29%
I think you're right.
of the Big 12.
I think you're right.
And look, I mean, there are a lot of things. I know people scoff at this type of stuff, especially if you don't like numbers and you immediately dismiss it. But there are a lot of things when you really look at what it's saying that makes sense. I mean, these things line up with what I guess what's typical of the conversations that we have. I mean, first and foremost, I mean, this is not breaking news that Clemson has a great chance to be in the playoff. And when you look at how much better they are than everyone else in the ACC on paper, that makes perfect sense. The fact that Alabama is second also makes perfect sense. And then there are other little things like the fact that there's not a second team in the Big 12 that really seems all that likely to make the playoff. I mean, I have a hard time coming up with who's second most likely.
Well,
I know a lot of people like West Virginia this year, but do you really trust West Virginia?
I trust West Virginia to score about 50 on everybody and give up 45.
Right. Do you trust them to stop people?
No. Here's the team, though. TCU, they got a week 3 showdown with Ohio State.
I'm going to be there, yeah.
Nice. You need a buddy?
need a spotter.
Yeah, okay, cool. I'll do it. That could catapult them. The conference, the league, really. But you look at the impact for the college football playoff race with this predictor, and, I mean, it just screams SEC and Big Ten. When you look at the six most impactful games, Ohio State, Michigan State, Ohio State, Penn State, Michigan, Ohio State, Auburn, Georgia, Washington, Auburn to start the year, and then Bama, Auburn. Clemson's not on there because you tell me, man, is the ACC that down? I mean, it's really just Clemson and Miami this year. You don't know much about Louisville. Florida State's in transition. I mean, Clemson's got that good. They've got a good recency, you know, a good history. And, you know, they should have a pretty smooth path. Is that kind of the thought?
Yeah. When we ran FPI for the first time back in the spring, every team on Clemson's regular season schedule was more than 12 points worse than them.
Wow.
So, and that's neutral field. Okay, so So when that means they're going to be close to a double-digit favorite in every game. In other words, they're going to be double-digit favorite in every game, but maybe one or two that it'll be really close to 10 if it's not double digits.
Gotcha.
So that's kind of what we're looking at with Clemson. And now look, let's be honest about it. 2 years in a row, they've laid a huge egg. They lost to Syracuse last year. Yeah. The year before that, they lost to Pitt mm-hmm. at home.
Yeah, that field goal.
So I don't think that you can trust Clemson as a slam dunk to run the table, but if they don't lose more than one game,
they're in.
They're going to end up in the ACC championship game, and if they win that at 12-1, they're going to be in the playoff. Now, the only way that doesn't happen is if they lose to someone in their division who, in turn, doesn't lose more than one conference game itself. Mm-hmm. And the only team that I see being able to do that is Florida State. And I only see Florida State having a chance to do that if DeAndre Francois, their quarterback from 2 years ago, who was injured in the season opener against Alabama last year, is back to full strength and pretty much, you know, what he was as a redshirt freshman. So that's the only scenario. And I say that because Florida State gets Clemson and Tallahassee this year. That's why I would give them a chance in that one game. And that's late October, so we'll have to wait a while for that to play out. But that's really the only scenario I see where Clemson doesn't win the ACC.
I got about 2 minutes here. Brad Edwards, ESPN Insider College Game Day, college football analyst. We're talking the playoff predictor. I love Wisconsin. I think Wisconsin's really talented. I think they're maybe a little less stout defensively this year, and their schedule's a little bit rougher, specifically the crossover. They have an 11% chance to hit the playoff and a 2% chance to win the championship, or I should say get to the championship. Penn State's at 16%. Michigan State's at 15%. Is there going to be a little more understanding about the Big Ten, just how brutal it is and how treacherous it is for folks to navigate through the East by those folks out there in the college football world?
Yeah, look, I think the people on the committee will recognize that if the Big Ten does the right things out of conference in order to keep the respect that it has right now. And so look at games like the opening weekend. I'm not expecting Michigan to go into South Bend and win. It's not like they should win that game, absolutely. But if they do, that's a big boost for the Big Ten. Same thing with Ohio State. Ohio State clearly will be favored in that game against TCU week three. But they need to win it. And if the Big Ten gets those key wins by those teams at a conference, let's just say, you know, those top five teams, the four mm-hmm. from the East and then Wisconsin, if they're all undefeated out of conference play, then that's going to be a pretty good look for the conference as they go in and they start playing each other. And I think it'd be very difficult to imagine a scenario in that case where the Big Ten doesn't get a team in like last year. I think there's a better chance in that scenario that they would end up getting two teams and that they would get none.
Brad Edwards with us, Hail Varsity Radio. Brad, we'll run you down in a couple of weeks. We'll talk some Nebraska football and take a little bit bigger look at Nebraska. But a great national discussion here on Bama, on Ohio State, on Urban, on the playoff predictor, and then the Big Ten. Man, thanks for making time today. It was always fun to get caught up with you.
All right, I always enjoy it. Take care, Chris.
See you, bud. Take care. There he is, Brad Edwards, college football insider, ESPN, College Game Day at J. Brad Edwards. Give him a follow. Check this out. This playoff predictor's there. We'll give you some of the numbers here as we come back. Nebraska not on the list. Not even a 1% chance for a playoff. Not even a 1% chance beyond getting to the college football playoff or the championship. You know the odds are, what, 20-1, 40-1, something like that. For Nebraska, but I mean, there's some love for Clemson, but Brad's right. Clemson imposes self-harm on themselves. Think about the cheese grater. Hail Varsity continues.
And we're back.
Fellas, think we could listen to the radio?
On Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Yes! That's awesome!
Open phone segment. You want to chime in? Chris Schmidt, the Pride of Chicago, Danny Burke, 466-377-6800-825-5865. Can tap the line. Schilling Bridge Court can tap house. Let you do that. We'll get into some more Nebraska comments on Trey Bryant, on how his knee is doing. Some thoughts from Adrian Martinez here in a moment. But the playoff predictor and, I mean, the algorithms and analytics and research that go into this thing pretty right on. I mean, it's like Rain Man stuff that's sweet. Clemson will step on themselves and lose, but they'll be 12-1, and they'll win the ACC title, and they'll get there. Anyone you're shaky on, and it's, I mean, that, listen, man, I don't know if you turned into Big Ten support guy if Nebraska's not in it, as in you'll shift your allegiance from, okay, Nebraska isn't playing for the Big Ten championship, and okay, Nebraska's not in the focal or the focus here nationally, but good on Sparty, begrudgingly good on Ohio State. I mean, those are the two teams that have made the playoff. Good on Iowa. I know your answer to that, most of you. You're not rooting for Iowa. You weren't rooting for Iowa in the Big Ten championship game. You weren't rooting for Iowa against Stanford. But, you know, Sparty, you can maybe take or leave. But, I mean, Michigan's got an 8% chance. Wisconsin, I went through Penn State and Sparty. Ohio State, a 37% chance, leads the way for a playoff appearance. And, I mean, Ohio State's, I mean, three of the six games, like the playoff deciding games, Danny, Ohio State's involved with. Notre Dame and Michigan. Man, that's like old times. That is absolutely like old times. They always kicked off the year. And Michigan would usually start 0-1, and Holtz and company would be all good, and they'd be 1-0. So, I don't know. I mean, Bama's too good. I know their secondary's a question mark, and I use the air quotes on that. Georgia's money. They got a lot to replace. Notre Dame's schedule is tough, but it's at home. Let's talk Nebraska, though. And have you let it marinate a bit from a schedule standpoint? Are you a Nebraska fan that is slowly talking yourself into the how and the why they can navigate this 2018 schedule? Or do you care? Do you care? You're just anxious to see better football, and that may be a loss or two because of who you're playing and where you're playing them. I mean, you know what, man? I'm fired up to see how they grow, where they go. That's where I'm at. What are you doing week four in Ann Arbor? Danny, I'm trying to get us there, bro. I might have a location for us. I'm trying to get us there. All right, I'm trying to get us Ann Arbor. Kranach's there.
He'll be there.
Yeah, Kranach's going, yeah. And Rob the Boss is going.
Yeah, we're going to have to slide in there somehow.
Oh, I mean, like, all-nighter drive, like, Thursday to Friday.
There you go.
Do the show Friday.
Sounds like a plan.
Do the show Saturday morning. You know? I mean, it's all good. We'll take the phones, get to the phones. Who's with us?
Yeah, Brad with us.
Brad, thanks for hanging on, brother. Go ahead. Hello, Brad.
Maybe we don't have Brad with
us. Okay, let's try again. All right, well, Brad, that was Danny's fault. Call back 466-3776. 800-825-5865. Playoff predictor. That's what we're talking about. The Big Ten, I think, has got a good shot to get one in, maybe two. Big 12 is hosed unless the Fighting Derek Petersons Boomer Sooners get in. That'll be interesting. We shall see. Eric's with us here on Hail Varsity Radio. Eric, thanks for hanging on, man. Go ahead.
Yeah, hey, thanks a lot. I always enjoy the show, Chris. Thanks.
Thanks, man. Appreciate you.
Hey, I'm kind of like you. I'm hoping they, you know, can get maybe 7-8 wins this year, but I just want to see some effort and some good football. It'd be nice to see us, you know, get to that championship game. Probably a little unrealistic, mm-hmm. But I really do. I just want to see some better football out of these guys and not the giving up kind of football under Riley. So
no, that's
thanks
good.
Again for the show.
Appreciate you, Eric. Thanks so much for the phone call. 466-3776, 800-825-5865 can tap the line. Schilling Bridge Corp can tap house, let you do that. No, and I'm anxious to, like, gauge them, their improvement. I think the record will take care of itself from an effort standpoint. And we're coming off of a little window today to watch open practice. And then you get the offense today you had the defense Monday, and everyone's pretty good. I mean, everyone's happy. Everyone's feeling it. And what Eric was saying from a win-loss total, yeah, I mean, here's what's not going to happen, right? I mean, there are, and Danny, you correct me here, bro, but there's a handful of teams on the schedule that could just go gangster on Nebraska, and Nebraska will play hard, and Nebraska will compete hard, and Nebraska will get beat by three touchdowns. Could get beat by three touchdowns because X or Y are that much better. Okay? But you know what? This team, I think, can build up. They're unique. You know what I'm excited about, too, man, is you think about this Nebraska offense, and we've kind of talked up Maurice Washington. We're wondering who's going to be the quarterback, and everyone's even, and you have good options that can fit and succeed in this offense. You got a guy like Stanley Morgan that's money. You've got Tyjon and Spielman that are good. But what is really, like, not being talked about is what this offense can do for this defense. You're going to have an aggressive defense. Derek Peterson was telling us last hour, here's what's going to happen. They are really practicing and emphasizing stripping the football, going after the football, tipping the football, intercepting the football, all these things to get more possessions for the offense. But how about the fact that the Nebraska's defense, what's killed Nebraska's defense? Well, the run, rush defense, right? They get mauled. Well, they've spent the last 5 months locked in a weight room with Zach Duvall. So they're stronger. It's no longer lunch money taking time. Okay? They're going to anchor down. They will fight at the line of scrimmage. They will be aggressive at the line of scrimmage. But with this offense, they're going against, whether they're going to take on Wisconsin or Michigan or Sparty or Ohio State or whatever the hell spread Purdue brings in, Nebraska's offense will prepare their defense every day they go against each other for tackling dudes that are lightning bug quick in space. Your fallout, on top of being in incredible shape defensively, because you're going 90 snaps, is going to be you are put in conflict, man. You are put in a space trying to get off of a block, trying to tackle some dude that is faster with his first two steps than you are in your life. And you got to tackle in space. Hopefully you and some of your crazy sick Delta buddies are going to be around, and there's three of you, but you are going to learn to tackle one-on-one in space if you don't have reinforcements. That makes me smile if I'm a Nebraska fan. Because it is going to be practice made perfect, and you'll be better or you won't play. You will be able to make a tackle open field in space against a like athlete. You won't be afraid to try and make a tackle. You won't have cushion to jack with. You won't have this read and react mentality where, well, just don't get beat deep. And here's the other thing. Here's what I'm wondering too. This is gold. Is the coaching up that'll happen. What's McBride say, man, when we talk defense? You live and die by the sword. And Uncle Charlie is, you can be aggressive and go after it and force the issue. Make things happen. Be the dictator. And you're going to get punched in the face once in a while or somewhere else. You're going to get hurt on a big play. And the key thing here is obviously not accept it or like it, but to respond from it. And when things went bad and there were big plays given up, defense sulked. And a lot of times, it was like chipping away. It was death by paper cuts. 8-yard dink, 8-yard dunk. JT Barrett wrote an autograph, threw it into the 17th row, and then completed the pass to his tight end last year. So you're going to have a change in mentality, but you have to change your response mentality too if you're Nebraska defensively. So I'm good, man. I mean, I'm kind of feeling the good vibes here as well. Let's talk Adrian Martinez here real quick. We have time. He was asked about Coach Frost. Cut 13 here. I love this. This was a really good, and Adrian said this about Coach Frost. We'll have a couple of comments here from Adrian here on his performances so far through camp. But just Frost and kind of This encapsulates what these guys feel playing for this guy.
It took me about probably 15 minutes to know I wanted to play for this guy. You know, I think it's the same way for the rest of these guys on this team. You know, he's easy to play for. We'll fight for him. And, you know, he's easy. Kind of trying to find the right word. But, you know, you can walk into a room with Coach Frost and it not be intense, if that makes sense. Not be like, he can walk into the players' lounge and we can have a good time. And he could be one of us. And I don't think you can get that at a lot of other places. You know, and then when we step on the field, we know it's go time. We know he demands a certain standard. We got to deliver.
That's money. We got to deliver. He's one of us. I knew in 15 minutes. Again, back to the G word, genuine. That's your quarterback. Not your starting quarterback yet. We don't know that yet. But that's one of the dudes that's going to be your future. And he's a spokesperson for the team in a lot of instances. Adrian was asked, okay, you guys are battling for the quarterback spot. How do you know if you've had a good day? All right, is it more than just your 10 of 13, three touchdowns? I mean, what's your feedback? What's your barometer here?
You know, I feel like it's hard to really judge that, get a judge for that. You know, you go back and film and kind of get a sense. But for me, you know, it's just about giving all my effort, you know, going all out, whether it's, you know, running out of fake, throwing a ball, whatever it is. I kind of judge my standard off how our team practices. Because when Coach Frost says, hey, we got better today, I feel good. When Coach Frost says, hey, we need to do better than this, you know what I mean? I feel less. It matters less, you know, how good I do, you know, on my morale.
You know, he's team first, but that's good, man. That's the keys he's looking for. A quick timeout. We'll continue on with Hail Varsity, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
And now, back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Back with you, it's Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Time for a Jock Doc Wednesday, Lincoln Orthopedic Center. Dr. Brandon Seifert, and he's a day removed from wearing the old birthday crown. Happy belated, Dr. Brandon. How are you?
I'm doing great, Chris. They're not very exciting anymore.
I mean, but 29's a good age, Dr. Brandon.
Oh, man, if only that was the case, right?
I remember my 20s. Somehow. Well, I hope you had a filet and enjoyed, man.
It was good. It was a good day for sure.
Well, I mean, we're happy, man. Good enough. Unhappy is the first ACL injury of NFL training camp. A.Q. Shipley, you know, Arizona's had lots of problems. New head coach this year. They want David Johnson to be back, and they're working on a quarterback. I mean, they got Rosen there, who's really talented. That is, if his teammates don't hurt him. But the guy snapping the ball is super important. And you know what? I look at centers, and I look at guys like Spencer Long, you know, they used to play for Nebraska, that now is making the move to the Jets, and he's had to overcome an injury. And I just wonder about how it works on the center's lateral movement and then the chopping steps you got to take front and back with pass protection, the firing off the ball that's necessary when it comes to power football, and you're talking red zone time. What's Shipley going through right now?
Yeah, you know, just happened for him. They diagnosed him as an ACL. Again, he's the unfortunate first ACL this year of the preseason. But basically for him, you know, when you have an acute ACL injury, those first couple of days are critical, just working on getting the swelling out, working on regaining that range of motion. There's kind of a host of ways of kind of addressing these things. I think the best way to take care of those acute ACLs, you know, give them a week or two to cool off, allow the athlete to get the range of motion back, improve the swelling. It makes things a lot easier after you get your ACL fixed. It tend to run into a little bit of trouble if you're fixing these things in a couple of days. Usually those folks are really stiff afterwards. It makes therapy much harder. And so that's what he's going through right now, basically some preoperative rehab in anticipation of him getting his ACL fixed along with whatever else is going on in his knee, which, again, they haven't been real forthcoming about what else is cooking inside his knee.
Dr. Brandon Seifert's with us, Lincoln Orthopedic Center, a Jock Doc Wednesday, and A.Q. Shipley, an acute ACL, the center for Arizona. And One thing that is a reality, and you can kind of touch on this for me, is just like computer navigation, man, when it comes to surgical accuracy and some of the technology that you're working with when it comes to ACL repair.
Yeah, you know, so, you know, first obviously the imaging part, MRIs, you know, are kind of part of that cool technology that's there. MRIs can, you know, continue to improve and evolve. And, you know, the image quality on some of our MRIs is pretty amazing, all the detail and things that you can see. When you're talking about using anything like kind of like a robotic mm-hmm. stuff for ACLs, you know, not really doing any of that kind of stuff just yet. You know, there's probably somebody in the lab doing that. I'm not really sure what the utility of that will be. I think one thing that, you know, could be explored a little bit further is if you looked at maybe some differences in a patient's anatomy might be something you could utilize some of that technology for, in terms of, do you need to put the graft maybe in a little bit different spot on a patient? That's been pretty heavily studied. I think the biggest thing that we see for a technology is there's a new kind of technique for doing the ACLs made by a certain company, and it pertains to how you drill the tunnels in the knee. So not to be too graphic on the radio with
you can be as graphic as you want, my man.
But when we do the ACLs, you know, it's a reconstructive process. Basically, you're remaking the graft, and so we have to use the athlete's tissue. I prefer to use their tissue as opposed to cadaveric tissue. Studies mm-hmm. have backed that up as well. At any rate, what you want to do is, you know, put those tunnels in great spots. The tunnels basically are the holes that you drill in the bone to kind of reconstruct the graft. Over time, that graft kind of grows into the bone in that area. And I would say that's probably where the biggest change has come in the last couple of years, as a huge emphasis on where you put that. And probably the most important tunnel of the two is on the thigh or the femur side. And so we have these really slick little devices that we're using now, where you can actually put the guide inside of the knee. It comes then back out the knee where the scope portal is, and it wraps around to the back of the thigh. And then you basically can kind of target where you want that while you're looking inside the knee. You fire this little pin in through this guide, and then you basically kind of create the tunnel with this drill bit that basically flips, and you kind of do it backwards. Mm. It's really great. You get these amazing tunnels on the femur, and really are putting the femoral graft into a place where it really should be. I think it's really revolutionized what we're doing with ACLs. I think it's the technique that should be used when you basically look where these tunnels are going compared to some of the old tunnels. And so I think that's critical. So, you know, they'll be using that. There was a recent study done about the use of that device, and I think it's probably upwards of about 45% of orthopedic sports guys are using that now. At any rate, that's some of the new cool technology that's out there. Obviously, there's always some really fantastic technology with how we're fixing meniscus or menisci, but those would be some of the things that would be, you know, on the table for him for sure.
Dr. Brandon Seifert, Lincoln Orthopedic Center, a Jock Doc Wednesday. We're talking AQ Shipley, the center for the Cards, and his ACL, his acute ACL. And I wanted to kind of get your take there on what's helping you guys perform. You guys are incredible at what you do at Lincoln Orthopedic. You've helped so many thousands of folks get better, get healed, and get back on the field or just back into life athletically. And that was really cool to hear how and what you do to go about your business. When it comes to Shipley, you're going to take care of that surgery procedure, and then it comes to the rehab procedure. What's he looking at timeline-wise and a rehab process? What's on the table for him?
You know, from a rehab perspective, that's obviously something that's really evolved significantly. We're very aggressive with rehab. So with him, he'll be in a, you know, physical therapy office the next day or even the second day after surgery, and they'll start moving in terms of range of motion, working on the quad strength. So they get pretty aggressive right away with those things. When you're looking at kind of a basic recovery for these folks, you know, you're obviously up walking right away, off crutches within a week or two. You may or may not use a brace for a couple of weeks on the athlete. And then they're back, you know, jogging usually by 8 to 10 weeks. They're back doing, you know, more kind of agility type stuff by 3.5 months, 4 months, if not a little bit sooner, depending on their progress and if there's any other damage at the time of the surgery, like meniscal stuff. And then when you look at total return on these, you know, there was a big push to kind of get people back at that five or six 6-month mark, still a reasonable thing to shoot for. But I think as we've looked at some other studies about that, we've probably been a little bit too aggressive in that regard. It's probably wiser to push him out a little further, maybe 7-8 months. Some even suggest some of the NFL studies suggest that maybe going back at 9 months would be better. I think physiologically, the athlete looks really great at 6 months. Most do, especially if they're NFL folks who've been working hard and have all the, you know, the tools and ancillary services that you can imagine. But the mental status is really a big part of it. You know, you and I have talked about that on the show before. I think it takes a long time to really develop that confidence back in your knee. I think that's the part that holds a lot of athletes up. And that's probably why that, you know, that 9-month number is more of an appropriate return. Again, it's variable. There's some folks that really mentally are ready to go at 6 months. And so you have to be a little bit flexible in terms of when they want to go back. But I've tried to encourage athletes to, you know, consider maybe going a little bit longer. I think it helps them. And I think in the end, when you look at these ACL athletes, they return very well. They look great, but they're really not the same athlete for about, you know, until probably about a year afterwards. And so those are some of the things that we think about in them in terms of their recovery.
Dr. Brandon Seifert with us, Lincoln Orthopedic Center, a Jock Doc Wednesday. Dr. Brandon, we'll get caught up again. Thanks for the info.
Absolutely, Chris. You guys take care.
He's in his 30s. But sounds like he was born with a stogie in one hand and a brew in the other.
Now, say my name.
It's Schmitty on Hail Varsity Radio.
I got the body of a taut preteen Swedish boy.
Wanted out a Wednesday. Tomorrow on the show, Parker Gabriel going to join us. Brandon Vogel going to be with us. And golf permitting, Gary Barnett, the Barney, will be with us. Supposed to be with us last Thursday. Couldn't happen. Didn't happen. Unforeseen atrocities. But now we're back at it. All right, Danny Burke. We have a pair of Ribfest tickets to give away shortly. Call your shot. Pride of Chicago with PGA Championship. Give me win. Give me place. Give me show.
Ooh.
Or do you not care? Just give me the money and give me the win.
Yeah, I'm more of just a straight-up win kind of guy, unless I'm hitting the tracks and I want to play it safe and win
something. Do you go to the track?
Back home I do, because it's like...
So where's the track at? What's the race? What's the horse park?
Yeah, so it's Arlington Racetrack, and I live in Arlington
Heights,
so it's like less than 10 minutes away from my house.
That's awesome.
Yeah, so we go there all
the
time.
I got to take you to either Fawner, which is Grand Island, awesome times.
Mm-hmm.
Uncle Nate and Dude are out there.
How far is it?
90 minutes. And then Gus, you're kind of familiar with Gus, up in Columbus. They've got racing up there, too.
Okay.
And I know Lincoln has something south. It's cool. That place is really cool.
Mm-hmm.
They just don't have it like they used to.
Okay.
I mean, there was a really nice schedule of racing in Lincoln. I don't know a damn thing about horses. I just like going and dollar beer night.
Yeah. But, is it throughout the week or just weekends kind of type deal?
I think it's a weekend thing. I'm not going to try and get into trouble here with anybody with the actual schedule, but I think Thursday through Sunday.
Okay.
There's a schedule.
Yeah, that's when it typically is the biggest day.
Yeah, so horse racing back to golf. Who do you like? Who are you going with? You going with DJ?
No, I'm not going to do that. Shuey, I'm taking his dark horses, of course. I'm going to throw a couple on that, but I've always kind of been a big Jordan Spieth guy.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to root for him.
Do you want this Texas mug to go with you?
No, nothing like that. I don't know. He's a stud. Like, he came out hot, you know, right onto the tour and caught my attention. Then he kind of started dying down, but I'm still backing him up a little bit. The thing is with me in golf, I don't follow it too intensely where...
No, you just want to make money on it.
Yeah, like I'm going to defend anyone versus another guy. I don't know.
No, I'm not asking you for your logic as to why. I'm just asking for your gut feel to make some money for yourself.
So I'm going to... So I got the couple guys. I got the dark horses, Finau, Woodland, because Shuey said so, and he's the master. And then, so I'm also going to put a couple on Spieth and Rory. Those are my other two guys.
You know what? Rory could do this thing.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know.
Who do you like? You like him?
I don't know. The conditions are what I'm messing with here.
Mm-hmm.
Despite, you know, muddy balls, Matt McKay, and, you know, sloppy conditions and, you know, hot and fast.
Just makes it more fun.
All these, you know. junior high, you know, giggle fest comments. It's a very true factor for the PGA Championship. We'll take caller five right now for Ribfest tickets. Caller five right now for Ribfest tickets. A pair for you with Hail Varsity and ESPN Lincoln. 466-3776, 466-3776, 1-800-825-5865, caller 5. I'm going to go with DJ. I'm going to be a loser.
All righty.
And just go with the favorite.
Okay, we'll see.
All right? We're no staking a beer, you vulture, this time. Caller 5 now for Ribfest tickets. We'll talk to you tomorrow at 4. Thanks.